Hello, everyone, and welcome to I actually didn't look up the episode number, some episode of the Peatcraft podcast. I am your host, Emilson, and joining me today, we have Abelito.
Hey.
We have Living.
Hi.
And we have Zukon.
Hello there.
Have you ever been on the podcast before, Living?
I did the Battle of Dazar'alor like week three thing.
Okay. It's been a while though. Why don't you
Episode
reintroduce yourself?
22, by the way, unless Windwalker has not been up yet.
Windwalker essences have not been done yet because I guess I'll jump. You don't need to introduce yourself, Living. We all know you. You're a Mistweaver. We are doing an off-topic episode today because I need to figure out how to improve the recording situation for this podcast. One of our chronic issues has been audio balance between people on the podcast, which is a hard thing to manage with a constantly rotating cast. So I'm trying some new toys out today and wanted to have something, an episode where I didn't care if it didn't turn out okay. So today we are talking about whatever the hell we want. I think there's going to be some classic talk. We might have some weeb chat, but we'll have to see.
Sounds
Weeb
good to me.
chat, just like lounge every day.
That's the only thing I do.
You're in the wrong channel, though, Living. Brew Lounge is the Weeb Lounge.
Oh shit! All right.
I thought that was Wind Lounge.
Let me unmute Beat
No,
Lounge. I'm
Wind
unmuting it right
Lounge.
now.
Wind Lounge is the least weeb lounge.
Really?
Yeah, I'm
I
pretty
think it's
sure it
like
goes.
Brew and Mistweaver, and then you have like Wind Lounge as an anti-weeb lounge.
I mean,
Yeah.
Mist Lounge has really been starting to pick up their weebness.
It
Living's
used to
commenting
be.
more, and then Jeremy now is talking a lot in it.
It used to be that like Mist Lounge was the Weeb Lounge.
Definitely.
Now we have more weebs in Brew Lounge, partially because some of the old weebs from Mist Lounge quit. But now we have a few regulars that like to talk about their animus. So I think Brew Lounge is definitely the weebiest lounge right now.
All right, I unmuted Brew Lounge for you guys then.
Well, I think Brew Lounge also has the most traffic. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure that is correct.
It is
Anyway,
the best spec.
I have a big
By a
doubt on that
very
one.
large margin.
Like, Mistweaver is kinda bad,
Oh, yeah.
and Windwalker
Mistweaver.
is kinda
I mean, for
bad.
keys, Mistweaver is still pretty good.
We do still have a Mistweaver in our team comp. They had the
I
option of
mean, you
rerolling
can.
to disc at the beginning of the tier, and
You
between
decided
talking to
to
that
not
officer.
be helpful for the raid team.
Well, they offered it to the officers, and our healing officer was like, I don't think the gap is going to be that big. And then it turned out that the gap was that big. But
Oh yeah, the gap was that big.
by that point, the it would just be unreasonable to ask them to gear it up. Like, we're not at that level of progression where having a Mistweaver is going to really, really harm us. But this was supposed to be off topic.
I mean, it's just a general whatever we choose, right? So
That's true, but I will say this is probably the only off-topic peak craft episode we will ever have. So if we
we
want to
can
be off
only be
topic,
off
this is
topic
our
then.
only chance.
So no WoW related talk whatsoever for retail.
No retail talk. I like that.
So we're all classic boys today in anime.
Pretty much.
Well, then that draws the question, who in here has actually been talking about or has been playing classic?
I have on and off and wish I had been playing more.
I think I'm in that same boat as you. Everything's gotten too busy with retail and life that Classic has fallen to the wayside.
Yep. Let me actually log in real quick and see what level I am. It's been a while.
I actually uninstalled Classic because my hard drive was starting to get full, and I was like, I gotta cut some things. I haven't logged into this in like a month. I guess it goes for now. It's a 2 gig download that takes no time.
Just get a new hard drive.
I am level 24.
See, I would just get a new hard drive, but I just booked my living accommodation for BlizzCon, and I'm like, I don't want to spend money now.
I feel that, dude. I'm just thinking about money I have to spend when I'm at BlizzCon. I'm like, do I want to buy Borderlands? Oh, I don't know how much I'm spending at BlizzCon. I can't do that yet.
I'm back. Got a decent. I guess it's the US versus EU thing, but it should be fine. Sometimes servers are unstable.
Yeah.
Also, I haven't found anything on the Reddit for it, but one of my guildies said in our Discord that someone crafted the first Sulphurous today.
Sulphurous?
Yeah.
On which server?
I don't know.
I mean, they're probably. Is there a classic armory? I actually don't know.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I would doubt it. I mean, I don't think there's a classic like world first like WoW progress / raider.io page, so I'd be shocked if there was an armory.
I mean,
well, Warcraft logs is updated to the classic, right?
Yeah, I mean, did I say Warcraft logs? I meant WoW progress.
No, you said WoW progress, yeah, but
okay,
if WoW Warcraft logs have done it, it might be possible that
Don't you need for like the world first stuff? Like, don't they typically require Warcraft or WoW armory, like so they can get the character's gear and all that?
Yeah, they usually get. These days, it's based primarily. Well, okay. There's the stats panel that has been a thing since I want to say the Burning Crusade, that shows that you've killed a boss, but it doesn't give a date. So there used to be this thing where, like, you had to actually go and update WoW Prog after you killed something to get a reasonably accurate timestamp.
Oh, okay. I think it
uses the achievement date.
Yeah, but WoW Progress used to track multiple kills as well. How did it do that?
The stats thing would show multiple. It just didn't have a date for it.
Oh.
Well, I just linked it. The stat was like
how many times you've killed X boss. The way that you see now, if you go to the armory and you scroll down to your raid progression, it shows, you know, how many times you've killed each boss. WoWProg could see that, if I remember correctly, but it has been a long time. Or like, in general, people could see that on your armory page.
Well, damn.
So which class did they give that Sulphurous to? A warrior?
I guess, yeah. Oh, we have to find the guy.
Everything in Classic just seems to be going super fast.
I mean, because everyone knows everything.
Yeah.
That's true.
Like, those guys probably killed it week one. Was like, yeah, this guy is getting the weapon. Give him all the items.
This isn't even that guild, though. I don't know if that guild is still playing, but it looks like a Chinese guild.
Ape?
Did it first? Yeah, apes.
Yeah, it's Chinese.
And then an EU guild, which is senseless and not apes, got a second.
We are all apes.
Yeah, I didn't say like they got the first kill, just the first week they went in and killed it. And so that's why they like had the plan, this guy's getting Sulphurous, so that's why he has it already. So I guess
it's expected for Classic to go this quickly as people play, seeing how much people play.
Yeah, and I mean, that comes to question, are they going to release content quicker because of that, or is it just going to be like everybody essentially can do all of the content half the time and new content gets released in a week, it's done.
Like, they've traditionally never released content based on the top 1 or 2% or whatever, right? They release content based on the average player, and the average player is not even level 60 yet, as far as I know. Though Molten Core is not really hard, so I guess it's doable for them when they get level 60. But for now, probably a while.
The kind of thing about the second phase that they're going to release, though, is it's not really level 60 content. Because it's Dire Maul, which I don't know what level dungeon that actually is. But
you do it not level 60 usually, though. You farm it.
Yeah, it does have 60. Like, yeah, it has a lot of good gear despite being not level 60, but it's not something I think the casual player would mind having pre-60.
I would love to see some population statistics on, like, what level people are. Because I would imagine a lot of people are in the same boat that, like, me and Zukon are in, where between 20 and 30, playing when we can, but have outside commitments and just leveling takes time.
It takes a lot of time. Like, every time I log on, I'm fully rested, at least. So it goes twice as fast for the hour or two I play. But it will take time to get to 60.
Yeah, I don't super mind, though, because one of the things that I really like about Classic as opposed to BFA is that there's a lot of the game, at least in Classic, is actually leveling, as opposed to, like, right now in BFA, it feels like leveling is just a speed bump.
Leveling is a chore in BFA. I like
it. Really is.
Like, I haven't done the full level 1 to level 120 or whatever, because I've already had all my characters, like every class in the previous max level before that. But from what I remember in Legion, it was just a chore to level those levels. And BFA content does not have that great of replayability.
Go ahead, Abe.
Did you start to level someone after they did the level change in Legion or before it?
Before
was awful.
I did one character, I think, after the level change, but most of my characters I leveled Legion pre-patch by standing AFK in the Baron's Inn and inviting people to groups while watching shows on the other monitor. Because you could do half an invasion, and then you could relog and your invasion would reset, but you got like a level from it. And then you could invite people to a group and have them do the next level for you, and so on and so forth.
Yep.
So basically, okay, you were AFK while they were leveling your character, and they didn't really know what they were doing.
Can you do those invasions again? That's just like my personal opinion, because I was so good for leveling, and it was really fun to do.
I did like 5 characters.
Yeah, like everyone I know did that, like at least like 3 or 4 characters, like the bare minimum. I know someone who did like 20.
Yeah, I know a couple people who did extreme numbers of characters doing similar things to what Zukon described. I didn't do those, but I've always been like leveling historically has been one of my favorite parts of the game, and so I was really, really frustrated up until they made the big leveling changes in Legion, and even still somewhat, because leveling just lost all its gameplay for like years. You didn't even need gear to be able to basically one-shot mobs with your basic rotational abilities.
I think most expansions post Mist of Pandaria have had bad leveling, including Legion, actually. Like, it's good the first run through almost all of them. VOD had a good first run, Legion had a good first run, and BFA had an okay one. But replayability just isn't there, because you're forced to go through almost all the zones, you're forced to go through almost all the quests, and the second time you can't even skip the things you don't like. In Pandaria, you had like, choose two zones, so you could like, skip the things you didn't like.
Yeah. Legion had that to a point, as long as you weren't leveling a character in like a weekend, if you ran out of rested, you had to do everything. But if you were like incrementally over the course of, you know, a couple weeks, just logging in, leveling up a character, you only had to do between 2 and 3 of the zones.
They did a change halfway through that reduced the amount of experience you needed. Before then,
that's probably partially what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, before then, you almost needed to do all the quests in all the zones.
Yeah.
I mean, when they put the invasions in Legion, like the not pre-patch, but the, what was it, halfway through, 75% of the way through expansion, leveling got easier
I stopped doing quests and started only doing the invasion world quests whenever they were up.
You could do an invasion and essentially get a level, and you knew when they were coming, so you could just go do your one level, go sit and rest, and then repeat.
And you could do it on all your alts, right?
Yeah.
Just invasion.
And they weren't terrible 10 characters. Like, I did. You're already going to do world quests, potentially, like 6 world quests.
You had the add-on pretty much doing all the work for you, right? World quests, group finder?
Yeah, where you could just instantly join.
When that could auto-join the groups, yeah.
I kind of missed that add-on, I have to say. But now I just don't do those other world quests. Actually, I'm done with my neck, so I don't do world quests anymore. But
see, I just don't care about my neck, so I don't really grind my neck.
I'm neck level 65, and as far as I'm concerned, that's done.
Same.
I will hit 70 in however many weeks it takes the 8,100 AP you get from doing all 9 bosses, or all 8 bosses in Eternal Palace, to get you to level 70.
Yeah, I usually do like the big sources. I do my Mythic Plus, so I do my arenas. And I have been doing my islands, but I'll probably stop because islands are hella boring.
Yeah, I guess they still do Mythic Plus, and that's like 3 to 4k every week too.
3.8, I think. Something around there.
Yeah. But I don't know. Leveling in Classic, despite, you know, a lot of it being very literally sitting there and auto-attacking, is more engaging and more fun to me than leveling, honestly, leveling in retail since, like, Mists has been.
I mean, I feel like you can actually die in Classic. Like, in Legion, I'm Yeah, it's like in, or at least not Legion, in retail, I can just go, let me go pull a massive pack, hit a cooldown, and then hit my one defensive, and I'm good.
And then they die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, in Classic, I die if I will pull more than 2 mobs, usually, so that's warrior life.
Oh, it's druid life, too. Although, I've managed to do 4 mobs that I accidentally, like, chain-pulled due to respawns. And I lived. But I had to use, like, big healing potion to full heal. And
warriors interesting, like, though, because as soon as you add more warriors, suddenly you're just a fucking you just stomp everything, because all of you just stack up multiple mobs and start cleaving, and things just insta die, because cleave hits really hard. The problem is that you run out of rage before you kill mobs if you're alone. But we leveled like 2 warriors together, and then we could kill mobs before they started doing too much damage to us. We could keep up the pace really well. We also dual tanked Shadowfang Keep with 2 warriors, of course, as DPS.
The only instance I've done in Classic has been Dead Mines.
Oh, you're Alliance.
Oh, yeah, I'm Alliance.
I did Veiling Caverns for as many times as I needed to complete the quests, which was 5.
Gosh, that's such a long time. Like, so many, you know what I'm saying? So many instances.
Veiling Caverns. Long.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't efficient to do those quests, but I kind of wanted to complete them because I was so far.
You want
to
know what's not efficient? The fishing quests.
Where the fuck does quit fishing quests?
You're talking to someone that did some fishing quests. I just had something up on Netflix on the other monitor. And I was like, I don't really want to think too hard right now. I'm going to do this fishing quest. And it took me 2-hour-long episodes of whatever I was watching to actually finish the fishing quest, just to fish up all 8 items I needed for it. Because the drop rate was so awful. And that was for a quest that gave a quarter of a level.
Not worth.
It depends. If you're going for speed, it's not worth. But if you're just trying to relax, that could work. That could be worth.
Drop rates in Classic are weird, man. Because raptors don't drop heads. Humans don't drop skulls. And Plains riders don't have beaks, and zebras don't have hooves for some reason in the Barrens.
You accidentally bashed their head in too hard, so you broke them. You gotta do less damage next time.
Yikes.
Just prick their kneecaps instead.
Yeah, just don't hit cleave.
Well, that's what I do.
Sounds like you got an issue. Time to re-roll the druid.
No, you re-rolled the gnome, because then you're shorter than everyone, you can't hit their head to break it.
Galaxy brain play.
Are all of you playing Alliance?
I am whenever I can.
I am.
But I'm mainly playing whenever the boys were playing.
I'm technically not playing, so no. I'm not Alliance or Horde.
Double
what are you on retail, though, living?
Horde.
Everybody's Horde on retail.
I wonder why.
I used to do this thing before the Legion leveling update, where when I wanted to level a character, I would just put on whatever white gear and gray gear I came across. And then if I went a long time without finding more, I would buy vendor gear from the really overpriced vendor gear that costs 10 or 20 gold for a white piece. Because periodically, due to the way this scaling changes worked in Warlords, eye level is actually a hidden stat, and it has really odd behaviors. And so if your eye level drops too low relative to what you're fighting, you just stop doing damage almost entirely.
Oh, that's pretty much the Iron Man thing, though. I guess you've seen that before.
It's kind of, except I don't care about dying.
Except they do not choose specialization, so they play the base spec without all the spells, which is a bit...
Yeah, except you can't do that anymore either. You have to choose a spec now. You always start in one.
Right.
Yeah. See, as a Legion baby, I didn't even know you could do that. Where you would just start as a no spec.
Yeah, that's how it used to be, is you unlocked specializations at level 10, and you could switch to, you started specializing, is literally what it was. You didn't start specialized in something and then change it.
This is wild.
But the, doing that, having only white and gray gear on, got a very unbalanced version of classic leveling back, kind of, where it was classic but faster, where classic you really can only fight one mob at a time, maybe two, three if you got a potion ready, but it takes time. Killing a mob might take 30 seconds easily. When I was doing this in Legion, it was a matter of, can I kill this mob in few enough globals that they don't kill me first? So we're talking 3 or 4 globals maximum.
What did you play?
I leveled almost everything with that in Legion. I leveled everything but Mage and Warlock.
Oh gosh, I would have lost my nerve and quit really early on.
And like difficulty varied widely. Monk's Rising Sun Kick one-shots things, even with no gear on, for most of leveling, up until you hit Warlord's content, or like Mist's content. It just one-shots everything. And then you have like Rogues that just, when you don't have good daggers, you need to actually use a finisher. So you have to like generate enough combo points and then use your combo point finisher before they kill you. Right, or...
Well, that's similar to Rogues in Vanilla though, right? Yeah, I guess you've seen the good old videos of the naked rogues with white or gray daggers killing good geared people in open world PvP. Because your Eviscerate had flat damage, like it didn't scale with your weapons.
Right. And
you could stun lock people forever. So you would pretty much stun lock them and eviscerate them and vanish and stun lock them again or something like that.
That's why, part of the reason at least, why my guild decided to go on a PvE server. So we are PvE Alliance in Classic. And there's a few people that went Horde or PvP or both, but for the most part, we're all on NA Paygold.
I've actually not been ganked at all yet, as far as I can remember. I've seen a lot of alliances just run past me, but none of them have tried to gank me. In retail, however, I'm not that lucky. I guess war mode might invite that a little bit. Maybe I should turn it off.
Yeah, I mean, you're basically saying, hey, I want to PvP, not just I'm on this server.
No, hey, I want 10% more AP so I can do 10% fewer world quests.
Yeah.
I want to zone into new home and get ganked by 40 alliances.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
I've actually been deleted so quickly that my loading screen hasn't ended yet by the time I'm dead.
Good old loading screen, boss.
Sometimes it's just a full raid of alliances there. They're just waiting for people to teleport in. And for some reason, you always zone into a shard where your faction is losing.
I've actually never had that before.
I have 100% zoned into New Home and had to like roll off the edge of a cliff to try and not die to the Alliance raid. But of course, like the only reason I lived to get to the cliff to roll in the first place is because I'm a brewmaster. And I zoned in tank spec. I've been trying to do Mechagon on my paladin recently to just doing the like one big world quest for rep to eventually get an old dynamo. And it has chronically been like if I go into the town, I just get deleted. Because the guards there don't do anything.
By the mob.
I don't know what you guys are doing. I've never had this issue on either faction with or with war mode on.
I think it depends a lot on just when you get on, because I used to not have issues as well. And I think if you happen to get sharded into a shard where there's an alliance raid, you are just fucked. And if you're not, then you're fine. It's like very binary. There's either no alliance or there's all of the alliance.
I've never had the getting ganked inside of Mechagon thing. What happens to me is that I somehow get in combat and all the guards start attacking me out of nowhere.
Either yeah, like they'll
because
be like
I have Breath of Fire dot on someone, because my Breath of Fire just hits everything in a 10-mile radius. Or maybe Rushing Jade or something.
I bubble hearthed on my paladin from the town in Mechagon. And I use my Dalaran Hearthstone because that's the only one that's short enough. And I had the bug where the guards in Dalaran turned hostile and murdered me.
That's great. I love seeing paladins bubble hearth because they never know that I'm going to walk up to them and mighty ox kick them. And a lot of the time they start emoting at you as well.
Bubble?
That goes straight through bubble, yeah.
Oh my god, I need to take that talent on my monk.
You need to play that talent. It goes through ice block as well, actually. You'll just knock the ice block up in the air.
New generate strats, I love it.
It's one of the reasons why Brewmaster is a bit degenerate in arenas and PvP. Because holy paladins, most of them don't know about it either. So they might just lose to not knowing that you can interrupt them during Divine Shield.
That is amazing. I did not know you could do that.
It is great. And you can... Sometimes they chase you after you to edges and shit, right? And you just throw them off. Overall, just a great talent.
All I'm hearing is that Monk is just better than everything else.
Definitely. Mistweaver's best healers.
100%.
Windwalker, best DPS, bar none.
Also, how did we get back on the topic of retail?
I think it was my fault, honestly.
Shake my head.
Because we spend so much time playing retail, Abe.
That's true.
Devours all things, including this podcast.
How far are you guys into the raid, by the way? I guess everyone here is raiding?
Yeah.
So, working on Zakuul right now, hoping to kill it Sunday.
Okay, we're the same then.
My guild died twice this tier, so we have still not killed Ashvayne. It's a lot of fun.
Hey, yikes. How about you living?
Cool, I sat down. What's the question?
How far are you into the tier?
Oh, everything's dead.
But have you actually been in on those kills?
Yeah.
Hey.
I killed whatever her name is this week.
Ajara?
Hey.
Yeah, I got a ring.
Oh, there's a lover's ring.
I can be a powerful cursed lover with someone.
Well, time to AFK till next year, right?
Yeah, that's what I've already been doing.
Hell yeah.
I got 65 this week too, so I'm just right. I haven't logged in like 3 days now.
I mean, what would you need to do? You already cleared all the content. And
yeah, I've almost the good essences.
It's almost raid log time, indeed. I log on once in a while to check the pearls because I'm still missing like 5 item levels and one piece. But
yeah, me too.
There's nothing to do in the game. I can't be fucked to play alts because of the essences.
Yeah, no, I switched to Paladin this tier. Like, when I say this tier, I mean like 2 weeks ago. So I've been having to actually log in for AP, which is insanely easy now. Like, I think it was 60 to 61 was only 10k AP, which is amazing. For, you know, catching that up. Go ahead.
I went 58 to 60 just by running Heroic Eternal Palace on my Paladin.
Yeah, it's... The AP gain is ridiculous. Or the AK gain.
30% reduction
every week to a minimum of 1k.
Which that 1k minimum annoys me.
Yeah, it means there's nothing like you could in Legion where you would get one token from a world quest and go from 0 to 48 or whatever.
That was the best feeling, though. New character, get one of those yellow or green tokens or whatever that gives like... Used to give like 10 AP or something at the start of the expansion.
It was like billions.
And you just get level 50 or whatever instantly.
My favorite was there was a post on Reddit. You might remember this. A new player hit 110 and they got an AP token. This is the very end of Legion. Like, AK is capped. And they get a token from a chest and it's worth like 20 billion AP. Not even being hyperbolic, it's actually worth like 20 billion AP. And they screenshot and they post it on Reddit and they're like, is this a bug? Am I going to get banned if I use this item?
Well, the AP was not very well planned out, to say the least.
Yeah, I think that's why they made the AK make it go down now.
Which has its own issues.
Yeah, to down to a minimum, I think, kind of defeats the purpose after a certain point, because it's like, oh, 1 to 50, or like it's like 1 to, what, 54 or something now? It's still 1K, so I still have to go farm 54K AP for levels that don't matter.
If you do the quest to unlock essences, it puts you at like 38 or something.
35, I think.
35. So getting up to 50 is still a grind, but it's 15K total to go from 35 to 50, which is honestly not that bad when your like Mythic Plus cash is 4K.
True. But maybe I'm just a lazy person.
I don't like it either, but I have issues with it. I think it's kind of scummy how it like obscures the fact that AK is actually going up, so it never feels like you are benefiting from just like taking your time. Because everything, like the island thing, is always worth 3,000, right? So it's always
3,500, I think.
But it's not always worth 3,500. Doing it next week is basically worth like 4,200 or 4,500. And then the week after that is worth like 6K. And like it just keeps going and going. And it just obscures the fact that just take your time with it. So, I don't know.
It feels bad because it's like doing something and not getting the level this week feels like you've wasted 30%, kind of.
Yeah.
It's like I could have not done this work and done it next week instead. And
gotten more for doing the same.
Yeah, it just feels horrible.
Well, if
it's just how the ketchup will always be, though, if they add ketchup mechanics. Unless
it
they
doesn't
add,
have
like...
to be continuous, though. I think that's really the flaw. Is that it's this continuous catch-up system. So it's very, like, every week there's a catch-up that just kind of happens. So it's not like, oh, I guess I just, like, wasted my time this week. I could have done it next week. As opposed to it being, like, every 4 or 5 months when a new patch comes out.
It's the whole carrot on the stick thing that annoys me a bit. Like, they always need something for you to grind. Like, people complained a lot about Warlords not having anything to do. But, like, I look back on Warlords and I'm like, I don't mind Warlords anymore. I wish I had nothing to do and I could just chill in my garrison and log on for raids. Because it's a lot more fun than grinding AP and essences.
At some point, I'm actually going to, like, write this blog post that I've been meaning to write forever. But I think it's really interesting to compare it to like Final Fantasy, because Final Fantasy doesn't really have end game grinds for gear. It does, but in the same way that you like had to cap your badges in Cataclysm, that took like
a couple of hours. Weekly cap.
Yeah, and beyond that, there's like there's nothing really to grind, and the gap between like the whatever Justice Point equivalent gear and the like Valor Point equivalent gear is like 10 item levels. It's not nothing, but it's not huge. And so there's not really anything to grind. Like, once you're max level and you've got a decent set of gear, unless you're like actively raiding Mythic, and even now I know people who raid Savage in Final Fantasy and there's nothing really to grind. And it's fine. They do other things. There's other things in the game. There's like casual content for people that's not just like pet battles.
Like, I think you have pet battles. Pet battles are great.
Like, okay, pet battles are great, but they're only one piece of content. And if they're not your thing, or you're already playing Pokemon, there are other things for you to do in Final Fantasy, and there's not really a whole lot else in WoW.
Like, you have Mythic Plus, which I feel like should be its own or should be possible to play in its own like self-contained way, but it's not really possible because to get most of the best in slot gear or best gear that you need for that, you need to raid.
Yeah.
And you have not needed to do PvP, but I wouldn't be surprised if at some point you need some trinket or something from PvP and you need to do that as well.
Well, you need Conflict and Strife as a brewmaster. If you want to do high keys, you need Conflict and Strife.
And I guess, Mistweaver.
Yeah, and Mistweaver that's a point too.
And you don't really need rank 3, but you need at least rank 2. Rank 2 is easy to get, but like, yeah.
I mean, as a Mistweaver, you only need rank 1.
Well,
he won rank 3 for the Maya, though.
If you're not gonna get rank 3, then like rank 1 and 2 don't have that much of a difference, since your buff is up a lot because you're healing a ton.
Yeah, it's been really annoying having to tell. We've had a lot of people come into Brew Lounge, Brew Questions, and be like, okay, what's the best weapon? Like, how do I compare these weapons? And it's the answer is always, doesn't matter. Go and pug Savara on Mythic. Like, that is your best weapon. Do it on Mythic, Normal, Heroic. That doesn't matter.
I'm looking forward to next tier if they don't make weapons with effects and people ask what is the best weapon and you'll say Titanforged weapon from Mythic Savara.
I don't even know if it needs to be Titanforged.
Probably not. Because that effect is worth like how much? 20, 25 item levels or something?
If I remember correctly, a normal Savara weapon for Brewmaster is worth more than any Mythic level weapon. That is not a Savara weapon.
That's
and it's like I'm still using my Cabal pants. They're 415, not even 420. Over 445s because the effect is worth 30 item levels.
It's fucking bonkers.
I don't know. As a Mistweaver, I don't really get that vibe.
Don't get as much like good on hit gear. Which, in fairness, they hadn't really been doing this kind of thing up until this tier. I don't know where they got the idea that like having gear that randomly procs extra damage was interesting gameplay, but they appeared to.
It is so stupid. Have you ever counted how much of your damage actually comes from your own abilities?
Oh yeah. If you count melees as not your own abilities, like 40% of my damage on most bosses is from actually actively pressing buttons.
Last I checked, if I count melees but not my essences, it's 40%. And melees is like, I don't know, 10-15% or something.
Yeah.
Fucking criminal, because it's the Shiver Venom and all the Benthic pieces and trinkets and essences, Cyclo. I hope they'll cut out the proc items. Like, I'm fine with one or two once in a while, but having like an entire set of gear that just randomly
almost
does damage.
Almost every piece of gear I have has something on it that does it.
But another thing about the gearing and Mythic Plus thing we spoke about earlier is that throughout this entire expansion, almost the best defensive trinkets in the game have been from raids, and that's by a massive margin. Like the Mythic Plus defensive trinkets have been awful for the most part. You have like Makimba's Ritual Bandages is probably the best, I think.
Even that is something I would consider a trap to use in any key.
Yeah, it's not any good compared to, say, a Diamond-Laced Refracting Prism or a Edicts of the Faithless, which is fucking amazing, or an Urchin.
So, the problem with Mythic Plus trinkets is, like, it's simply the fact they need to buff them. Because as the expansion goes on, and like, make trinkets stronger. Like, they keep, like, a base value for early on, and then, like, all the, like, on-proc trinkets and everything, like, legitimately baseline becomes stronger. The beginning extension, all the stat trinkets are better because they keep stat trinkets kind of like average throughout the expansion, and like they'll make like the on-hit damage ones like lure for casters, because I don't know brewmaster and unlock stuff.
Have there ever been any good healing trinkets from Mythic Blood at all?
Early on, the expansion, the stat ones. But now, like...
real good.
Yeah. But now it's like, the raid trinket brings good healing, like, baseline effect ones. And so, but now Mythic Plus, those didn't get buffed, and so now they're still, like, the weak baseline. And so comparing the same eye-level healing effect trinket from Mythic Plus to raid isn't a comparison. They could pull, like, a whole percent HPS difference. Like, over 1,000 difference. So they just... they need to, like, buff those trinkets over time rather than just let eye level carry them, because eye level isn't enough for how they design trinkets early on.
Or just make the scaling on that harder.
I mean, honestly, a bunch of the defensive trinkets in Mythic Plus are just straight underpowered and have been the entire time. It's not an issue of, like, where they... none of them were good in Season 1. None of them were good during Uldir. You were better off wearing, like, Harlan's Dice than most of the defensive trinkets if you wanted to play defense.
Actually true.
Yeah. Like for the case of DPS, though, like, I think it's like Branch was like OP, and now it's weak.
Yeah.
So they need, like...
some classes still use the Branch. I think, like, Arcane Mage, not that anyone plays that, I guess.
And they're all fire now. Our Warlocks don't use it and haven't been looking for it, so I don't know about that, but they might.
I've not checked in this tree tier, actually. I'm pretty sure they farmed it in the previous one.
They did farm it in the previous one, because I know I got asked, like, every week. It's like, hey, we have a Waycrest key, you want to tank it? And it was always a Waycrest key.
They were just trying to get that music box, don't you know?
Forehead.
Oh yeah, they use the Arjara trinket and the Leviathans now. Seems
we have somebody in our raid group with a 455 socketed lure.
See, that's just my opinion. Like, I don't know if it fixed them all, because some are just baseline bad, but some definitely need a buff over time, because as the expansion goes on, they just make better trinkets, and then the bad trinkets at the beginning just become worse, so it makes Mythic Plus even worse for gear.
Yeah, and that's something we've seen with actually Azerite traits as well, where the way they work is they've got a scaling coefficient. Everything scales along the same, like, kind of curve. They're all exponential, or they're all, well, okay, there's, like, exponential ones and linear ones. That's all beside the point. They all scale basically the same, except some of them scale faster than others because they've got a larger multiplier tacked on the front. And that's the only difference. And they just keep introducing new traits that just, like, completely invalidate other options, like Undulating Tides. You don't even need the uptime to be very good on it for it to completely invalidate every other DPS trait you've got as a brewmaster.
Isn't it like more than twice as good as the second best in optimal conditions, if both of them have optimal conditions then?
In optimal conditions, yeah, but you even with, like, 50% uptime, which is pretty easy to get, it's still better than anything else. Yeah, I actually, so funny story, when I wrote up the Azerite trait guide for this tier for Brewmaster, I initially rated Undulating Tides really low, because I saw it on The Sims, and I was like, okay, it's barely out-simming anything else, and that's with 100% of time, so it's going to be bad in practice. And then I saw that, like, at the time, The Sims had 1 point of Undulating Tides as better than any other combination of three traits for Brewmaster. So it was beneficial to pick a piece with Undulating Tides over literally anything else.
It is also surprisingly easy to maintain as Brewmaster.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's dumb. I use, I joke about this, but it's actually true. I use cooldowns on Orgazoa to maintain Undulating Tides uptime.
I do the same. Or, like, I use cooldowns on Orgazoa just in case I get hit, because most of the time I don't even get hit by the boss. So, but I don't want to lose my UT.
It's strange how there's so much more going on with classes and gearing and everything than there was in vanilla, but I'm still just like, I would rather log on and play my level 24 druid than do anything outside of raiding in retail.
Like, I think the retail raiding is fun. And I think Eternal Palace is not a bad raid at all. It's actually a pretty good raid with good bosses.
I really am liking Z'Kuul. Better than any boss. Z'Kuul's awesome. In Battle for Desire. Almost every boss, I think, in Eternal Palace is better than any boss in Battle for Desire lore. That's my 2 cents.
Yeah, like, I have not done Azjara. Azjara looks awful to me. But, like, all the other bosses, I think, are fine. Few scaling issues, I would say. Like, it's tied to the whole benthic shit, which they should have fixed long ago. Like, they should have... They knew that benthic was a problem before the mythic opened. They should have just nerfed the benthic and just nerfed the bosses accordingly. But they didn't. So we had some issues with Ashvain maybe being a little bit too hard, at least for a fourth boss, because Ashvain with bad gear was harder than Queen's Court pretty much.
And then, I feel like they just like in that mass firing that happened earlier this year, I feel like they fired all the balance changers.
Well, like
I only say that because like before the tier happened, the only changes we've got was like 6% arcane mage. And just I don't want to talk about healer balance or tank balance because I know both of them are terrible.
Yeah, and you like play Holy Paladins, and
we're far enough into the tier that those should start happening. Like we're at 8.25. That we should have had more changes by 8.25.
Okay.
So we've 100% had no balance changes, and like I just feel like there is no balance team now. They've done like 5 changes overall in the past half a year.
It's actually insane how long can go before they do anything.
Okay, so I have heard through the grapevine that changes were being considered like pretty substantial nerfs to Brewmaster for 8.2.5. And they're not in the patch notes right now for 8.2.5. But they changed Blood DKs the Friday, or like this, no, it wasn't even the Friday, it was like the Sunday before the patch hit for 8.1. And they just like gutted their armor. And, I'm a little bit concerned that we're going to have an 11th hour nerf like that to Brewmasters, where it's going to be like Monday night, and they're going to like do something dumb, like cut stagger by half or something.
Well, only if they turn it back into the night hold, it would be interesting to see. The 100% uptime on ISB requirement, otherwise you get one shot. But I think it's a fair concern. The DK nerfs were way too big, for sure. And it's surprising that they haven't done anything with it since, because DK has always dominated Mythic Plus, but they've not been that good in raid. Like, people have played DKs in raids because they play DK in Mythic Plus, and it has worked, but it's not generally been the best tank for almost any fight, apart from the fights where grip is good.
Yeah, my co-tank is a Blood DK main, and I think it's relatively common knowledge now that if you don't main Brewmaster, you have to have a Brewmaster alt. Or at least like a Warrior alt, which is what my co-tank has. He has a Warrior alt that he maintains, and he plays Blood DK on most bosses, and then plays Warrior on Orgozoa. Just because Orgozoa will actually like brutally murder a Blood DK. It's disgusting.
My core tank actually only plays Guardian Druid now. And Guardian has been very good in this patch.
Guardian's pretty good.
But the Monk just dominates too much. You'd probably run double Monk for anything, right?
You definitely run double Monk for everything.
Yeah. I mean, what was it? Week 1 it seemed required for Orgozoa just because the adds. and, you know, Dave being ability to just taunt
it's
everything.
Still required if you want a two tank Orgazoa. The only way to two tank Orgazoa is double Brewmaster.
Oh, but you don't know, do you? Have you not seen the Chinese strat? Where they tank the adds on the boss.
Oh.
Hold up a second.
That's sketchy as hell.
Is that how they're getting those paladins with over 100k HPS? Throughout the whole fight?
Probably. The fight doesn't do damage anymore.
The whatever AoE that the adds do gets doubled when they're in range of the boss, so probably.
Yes. Well, the Chinese always have the best strats. I'll never forget the fucking Jaina. Did you see that Jaina kill video? Which were was like 11 minutes because they were on the boat. were on the boat for like 4 minutes after intermission.
Can I get a link to this?
I have.
I can dig it up somewhere
for you after the podcast.
Awesome, because I have not seen this. I've only heard about it. I didn't know there's a video related though.
Oh yeah, there's a video. It's so funny.
Wasn't there also like a strat for the second to last blockade where they would just keep going between the boats and applying dots to the boss because he wouldn't cast?
That was very early on because you could, I don't remember why that worked. Oh, I know. When you teleported across, you could keep dotting the boss. And so you would just intentionally not push the phase and just constantly interrupt both bosses. And you could just heal through the damage. It never ramped up. And then just like slowly whittle down the boss. And that's different from the initial bugged strat where you just like went back and forth from the platform and the boat without ever actually engaging the boss. And dotted Luminaria, and it would eventually die, and you would get credit and loot. Bizarre War was such a buggy raid.
I mean,
like looking back, I didn't enjoy that many bosses from there. The Mechatork was probably the best fight in that raid, but most of the bosses were not that enjoyable. And I really hate splitting up the raid for those fights like Opulence and Stormwall, because it comes with the you need a monk and a demon hunter on both sides, and it just restricts your comp so much.
It just comes with a lot of admin without a lot of benefit.
Though we had a lot of fun competing which boat was the most shit on Stormwall Blockade, because the two different boats had two different strats for dealing with the sea spouts?
Sea swells,
yeah.
Yeah, I actually remember that too. One of our, like, the healing officers, like, well, how the hell are you guys taking so much damage? Let me get on that boat. And he goes over there and he's like, what the hell is happening? And it was like, well, nobody was dying before you tried to make a change. Like, what are you trying to do?
For us, it was like one boat was like, yeah, we always stack for these. My boat was like, okay, it's every man for himself. If you die, it's your fault.
Murder each other. Yeah, we did the stacking.
But we all know right boat was best boat.
Yeah, that was right boat, our boat.
No. Nope.
I was on the left boat.
See, I started right on the boat. Right boat. Or the left boat, and then the healing officer was like, why the hell are you guys taking so much? And they switched me. And then they, you know, started fighting why left boat was so bad. And I was like, I don't care. I'm right boat now. I've picked the right one.
And Jaina was just the combination of both the shit boats.
Yeah.
I love Jaina.
Jaina has no redeeming qualities. Don't at me.
What the fuck? I like Jaina.
Our Shadow Priest says the same thing, and I do not understand why.
Because they didn't have to deal with the tank or the boss moving.
Tanking the boss was actually awful.
Like, for a little while, they told me, hey, you stay at range. And I was like, okay, I'm a monk. This feels weird, but I'll listen. And it was the best experience on Jaina because I just didn't have to do anything.
That's probably why our Shadow Priest loved it.
You just sit, blast, and then slightly move.
Yeah, and then like phase two is just a DPS check.
I lost track of how many times I was asked if I can move the boss, and I said no. It's really not possible to move the boss.
Yeah. Plenty of times we had our raid leader go, move the boss. I'm like, working on it, and it moves like 10 seconds later because she's just casting.
I do think Sivara has some awful ability design for tanks as well, though, with the... She, like, has a weird-ass spell queue, and you drop your debuffs in between her abilities. You can technically one-tank the boss. I have no clue what they thought when they designed that fight. And the Crushing Reverberation actually kills non-monk tanks. I didn't even know that. Because it does, like, split physical damage, quite a big spike. Like, you get high stagger and you purify it as monk.
Yeah.
But I never really thought about, like, this might actually be dangerous for someone until I saw my co-tank, who was, like, a off-spec because my other tank wasn't there, trying to tank it, and he just got deleted by the crushing.
Yeah, you need the cooldown for it if you're not a monk. I know my co-tank, I think he has Vamp Blood up for one, and then IBF for one, and I don't know what he does for the other one. If he gets a third in a row, I think he uses externals in that case. Or maybe Vamp Blood is up again.
Vamp Blood is always up.
As much as I hate it in the analyzer, having all the cooldown reduction stuff kind of persist from Legion into BFA is one of the highlights. In my opinion.
I mean, it's not that bad on the analyzer side.
I mean, prop paladins have like cooldowns of their all of their buttons are hasted. Plus, those hasted buttons have random resets. Plus,
do those resets have a log event though?
No.
Oh, it feels like prop warrior.
And then those hasted events with random resets, when you cast them, reduce the cooldown of one of your other abilities.
Oh, that's a little bit worse. You know, Prot Warrior just has one button that gets reset by three different abilities, depending on talents. And that button should be hit on cooldown. So you're just like, what do I do?
Shield slam more.
Yeah, and then they don't, and you're like, I guess you could have gotten 20 in that fight. I'm not sure.
Yeah. And I mean, sometimes the resets are logged for paladins. You have to have a certain
holy shock resets.
But yeah. It's one of the... I like playing paladin partly because it has that loop of pressing buttons, so you get to press more buttons.
Like, Paladin would be interesting. I kind of want to try it again. Though I enjoyed Rhett a lot more in this expansion than I did Prot. Most times I went for Glimmer. Peace. Like, Glimmer Holy Paladin.
Yes.
Not yet. I've not tried Healing Hole as Holy in this expansion. I considered doing it for PvP, but came down to not being arsed to gear my Holy Paladin and learn how to play it.
Well, then you're missing out. It's a lot of fun. You hit Holy Shock, you hit Holy Shock, and then you hit Crusader Strike so you can hit Holy Shock again.
Well, right now I can't be fucked to play anything unless they make Essences account bound or account wide anyways, or any alts rather. I want to play Demon Hunter Tank. I want to play my Red Paladin. I kind of want to try Holy Paladin. But not really right now.
Holy Paladin only needs the Mechagon traits. Run Mechagon twice.
Yep. Yeah, but I hate Mechagon.
And what? Just get people to carry you. You don't like it.
We've had so many Clown Fiesta runs in Mechagon now. The all the infamous like Deathless run.
Most of my guild has like Vision 4 now.
Where we make it to the last boss and then some clown messes up the last button on the thing and there's nothing I can do as the tank.
Yeah.
Just immune that forehead.
Yeah, just hit bubble.
You can actually reset that boss with Brewmaster before you wipe. If you're in phase one. When he's like the big robot, you can't reset him because you can drag him out. You can trance out and taunt him and drag him out before everyone explodes. But I haven't. I don't even have rank 3 Vicious of Perfection before because it's so bad for Brewmaster. It's okay for Mistweaver, right?
No, it's actually terrible for Mistweaver. Like,
I think really? Expect.
It's a 6k heal at random with like a 0.85 procs per minute.
Does it dispel?
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting.
Bad.
So imagine being on Zekul and it just dispels.
Fucking hilarious. Like, well, you usually tremor on Zekul anyways, right?
Yeah, but I'm saying earlier on in the tier where people didn't have enough health or they had less health.
Yeah, you just didn't run Mistweaver then.
True. Unless you were Dobbs, then you could get in for the first 3 bosses.
Oh, Mistweaver owned.
Like, I want Mistweaver to be good because they have, like, a decently fun kit to play around. It's just... Well, the... how do you say it? They're not really that good at anything. They're really not best at anything, rather.
We're, like, top 3 Mythic Plus healer. Top 6 healer in raid.
There are only 6 healers.
That's the point.
Okay.
They're better than Shaman.
Are they, though?
No, but Shamans have Slinkies. And when Slink's you Slinky... Bad. No, when you Slinky a Tremor on Zekul, and just... That's all you need. Slinky plus Tremor.
And that wasn't enough way back when in my day. So Shaman right. was bad.
They got a buff.
The Slinky is super useful on Queen's Court. When you get that overlap with the sparks and the deferred sentence, and you just put up the slinky and everyone walks around. Because you'll always have someone killing themselves if you use regular cooldowns.
We've had to do it without Resto Shaman a couple times now, and deferred sentence is such a shit mechanic. That's actually, I think, my least super part of the raid as a whole. Is that mechanic.
Double disc works really well, but... Yeah, like the deferred sentences. It's the typical mechanic that shows you which players think for themselves and who just will die if they're not told what to do. Because what it ends up with being for us is that we pop the spirit link and we say, okay, you can move now, and then they move. Because otherwise you'll have someone just standing there and getting one shot at some point.
Yep, definitely seen a fair few 800k deferred sentence hits in the logs.
Though an interesting thing about that is that you know what happens if you immune the deferred sentence? You cannot get rid of your stacks for the duration of your immunity. Which means your stacks will keep going up, but as you move, you cannot get rid of your stacks. So if a rogue cloaks it, they'll keep gaining stacks, and when their cloak ends, they're very likely to be at like 8 stacks in like one-shot range.
So what happens That's when hilarious. The like the phase changes, where it force drops all the stacks?
Then I think it drops it. You can probably cloak around then, but if you don't know about it, you'll probably get caught out earlier. Because if you intend to cloak or whatever, you probably try to do it on a spark dying.
Yeah, a lot of why I don't like that mechanic is just it's not very responsive. One of the strengths of Blizzard games in general has always been that they are maybe not the most responsive games in the world, but when you do something, it does the thing, as opposed to like when you press a button in Final Fantasy, maybe it
half a second tick rate.
Yeah,
feels good, man.
It feels really slow and laggy. And that's how Deferred Sentence feels. It feels slow and laggy, where everything else in the game doesn't. And it's really jarring.
I'm curious how it's actually coded, because I noticed that you cannot strafe back and forth to drop it. You need to like
move. I'm pretty sure it uses
a certain distance or something from your location.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it uses the same coding as like Ripple in Space, which is similar to the new coding for Momentum. Where like you have to move a set distance from your starting point in order to trigger it, not just move a set distance. You can't strafe. It's and that's part of
a set distance. I generally strafe it off, but I like don't do like a quick back forth. I do like a 3 yards one way, 3 yards the other way.
That's really awkward when you're tanking the boss.
Yeah, the back forth is what I used to try until I figured out it doesn't work. And I don't think jumping works either. Jumping works on like the move mechanic.
Sometimes I have to jump two or three times in a row to make it work, but it does work.
No. Yeah, because it works for me. I just cast a penance and walk a little bit, and then it procs, and I'm healing anyways, so.
Also,
fun fact, essence font.
And that mechanic is percent health. Which
is it?
Yep. Which means that ye old blood decays just like arbitrarily get hit twice as hard as a brewmaster.
But he has AMS, he'll be fine.
Yeah, well.
Tell that to him. Tell that to
I think players. It also I just think means obey you can never really suffer.
That mechanic.
Or obey and suffer, I think, is really, really weird. The whole you can bop off the obey but not the suffer, and just be rid of the whole mechanic on your main tank for the duration is really weird, because it should probably be a magic effect.
Yeah.
And the whole if you absorb all the damage, obey does not, or suffer does not trigger, but if you take any damage it will. It's like you can pop, I usually pop null major going out from the deterred sentence to the obey and suffer, because I'm out soloing the zealous eruption bullshit, and then I just get a bop and we're done with that mechanic for the rest of the fight pretty much.
I actually died yesterday on Queen's Court to having suffering trigger like less than a second before the effect was going to end. And I just was not prepared for it and was low because healers weren't expecting that to be an issue. And so I just like went into the next phase with like 20% health and was healing immune and died.
I hate heal immunities.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, one of the reasons why mist weavers are actually nice to have.
Why?
Having the mist weaver there on Rostacon was actually really, really helpful.
Just even though single target,
a disc priest could have done the same, cocoon. I guess.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, do you want life cocoon? You just rapture up powered shields and they live for 10 seconds rather than tanking two hits.
Yeah, because Rapture, you can just spam shields on the tank for the full duration if you want, right?
Yep.
Not if they've already planned that cooldown elsewhere.
Nope, that's what you planned the cooldown for there. That's what we did on our Queen's Court Prague. The first time you go into the suffer phase, where there's like the... Is it Zealous Eruption, where that dude binks the shield?
Zealous Eruption overlap.
Yeah.
Yeah. My Rapture is planned there. I could use it elsewhere because there's all that spark stuff that I could definitely use it. Nope, we moved it specifically planned to there because, and my paint stuff's there too. Like,
I actually might should talk about that with our healing lead because that sounds really useful. We already have our paints up there, but having Rapture there honestly just means we're gonna have more people living through that.
Yeah, since the tank's only taking damage and they can
it's
die.
It's only the tank who can die there. I guess. Like, if you use the bop there, though, you're fine, because the bop just removes the mechanic from the fight, or from the face.
Yeah. I gotta talk about another buggy thing about that fight, too, just because I found it so dumb. It's Druid, Resto Druid, and I guess Boonkin also had a problem with this, has a trait where their regrowth hot can go on their life bloom target. There's been a bug since the beginning of expansion where that counts as two casts. And so you just instant silenced yourself on Queen's Court.
Jesus Christ.
Oh god, I didn't even think about that.
And then the best part about it is when they added a fix to it, their fix wasn't to make it one cast. They did eventually fix it to where it is one cast, but their fix was just to remove it from the cast log. So it just did not count as a cast for that mechanic.
That's interesting.
So you could spam regrowth, or if you like casted rejuve, regrowth, then rejuve, the second rejuve would silence you because regrowth didn't count as a cast. So that was their temporary fix until they finally figured it out.
Does that mean that like you couldn't stack ERT from regrowth at that time too?
You could. They didn't break it for regrowth. They did it only for that fight. But I think, I mean, I wasn't playing Druid when that shit was happening, so I think they fixed the ERT the same time they fixed that. I know the ERT is definitely fixed now, though. Like, the whole thing's fixed, but it was so stupid.
That order is such a non-issue as Brewmaster. You just play your regular rotation, and you don't even notice that it's there.
Same for most Weaver, unless you're hitting like pure DPS buttons.
I've definitely gotten silenced a couple times, but it's to dumb things like double roll, or like I've just dodged a lot, so I don't have any orbs for expel harm, so I just Tiger Palm twice in that MTG.
Yeah, it happens once in a while, but it's super rare compared to most other classes. Like if you look at your frames and you actually track it, you see like, oh, that guy got silenced like three times during this one. It's always the Shadow Priests.
Yeah, I generally just don't care about it. The silence isn't long enough, and most of the time there's no healing in that phase anyways.
Mm-hmm. I would rather that be the hard mechanic, honestly, than Deferred Sense.
Do you guys know what's up with Hunters there, by the way? Like, they can feign death the charge, and the charge doesn't hit, but sometimes their feign death just fails, and they get hit anyways?
Yeah. Feign death has been buggy for at least a couple expansions now, where sometimes, like, even if you take your hands off the keyboard, you just push the button, it just won't do anything. It like you won't go to the ground or anything. It just will do nothing, and you die. But it's been bugged since at least the beginning of Legion.
Because we started Queen's Court Progress, and it was like, okay, if it goes on a Hunter, you don't soak it. Fine. Until we realized, like, every four or five times, it just fails in the insta-die. So we figured out that you soak for the Hunters as well, but they will still feign death. You're just there in case they fail, which worked out in the end, but it's fucking stupid.
Yeah, we tried using Artifice of Time on the charge target during standalone, which actually worked surprisingly well. It's a huge absorb shield, so they basically don't need any help. They don't even need a personal most of the time to be able to live through it, as long as they have like any amount of versatility. But the dot from that going into Deferred Sentence actually can be a problem sometimes, because you can have situations where they're getting ticked down from the after effects of that essence while they get hit by Deferred Sentence and get hit by a spark and just like die. We spent a couple nights using that, one of which we killed it, and then we went back and we're using it on farm, and it happened to one of our priests a couple times, and they were just like, can we stop doing this, because I'm just dying to the dot.
Yeah, priests are pretty vulnerable in that way because they have solo verse, as far as I know. Like, I noticed that any times there's, like, a big ray damage and someone gets one shot, it's almost always the Shadow Priest. because he just doesn't have versatility compared to everyone else.
Well, fun just fact, if you use a Stampot on Zakuul as a Shadow Priest, you can live through the Dreads without being in the barrier or without AM or anything like that. All you need is a Stam Potion.
Does have it stamp use?
Potions, though.
Is that the strat? Because then you can stay downstairs longer?
No, this is... I mean, I don't think it's worth for downstairs. I don't know. I'd have to check numbers on it. But I know you could do it to live through the Dreads upstairs. One of our Shadow Priests was screwing around with that in Phase 1.
Phase 1 is the most clown, or it's not even clown fiesta, it's just all the weirdest thing I've seen in many tiers. Where you have like 5 people running around on mounts, the priests are running around in the middle trying to grip people into the tentacles because they're bored. And yeah, it's pretty interesting.
We've fucking
DPS'd up.
I spin in circles.
Oh, you were just practicing for Azara.
Yup.
But there will be some point where you can just push it, right? Or is it just...
There is a point. There are kills using a fast push strat. There's just no benefit to doing so right now. Because it doesn't really give you better overlaps. It actually kind of gives you worse overlaps and has a higher DPS check.
It's more that it's inconvenient to stop DPS for that long, but so if the overlaps were the same without using any extra resources or too many extra resources, it would be worth it. Just in terms of efficiency and not having people run around on their mounts being unfocused for half the pull or 2 minutes, I guess.
Yeah, we've had people that have a hard time transitioning from the, like, doesn't matter what I'm doing first phase to actually paying attention.
I guess the phase 2 and phase 3 damage suffers massively from not being able to, like, set everything up, but if you want to run big DPS in phase 1.
We have everybody, like, set up their DPS for the second and third phases or whatever they need to do, you know, stack their Maelstrom and what have you, get combo points up, and then auto attack the boss to maintain ink pod stacks.
It's pretty much like set up everything, let the people who need to damage the boss, and everyone else just prepare all your resources.
Yeah. It's funny, this was supposed to be an off-topic podcast, and yet here we are talking about strats for the most.
I called it a minute ago.
It's because we're retail boys.
Yeah. Fuck Classic.
Who needs Classic when you got anime?
Yeah.
Oh, anime cast.
I think it's actually a little bit too late in this podcast for us to switch gears and start talking about anime. We've been going for like an hour and a half now, almost.
And no anime or boat girls.
No anime or boat girls, but...
Boat girl anime comes out next season.
Fuck. Close. Very close.
Is that your thing, Living?
It's garbage. Holy shit.
I've never understood the boat girl things, though when we were in Japan, those fucking arcade games look hella dank. With fucking... have you seen them? Like in Kantai Collection arcade games. I'll have to find a picture. Those controls, man.
Alright, well, before we wrap up this podcast, for each of you, what's your favorite anime? I know you all watch anime.
Yeah, no, I gotta think. That's a hard one.
Say again?
Shinsekai Yori.
Does it have an English name?
From New World, I think, isn't it?
Yep.
Okay.
Probably Fate Zero, I think. Like, there are good things in different categories, right? But
yeah,
I personally really enjoyed Megalobox, and I don't know what it was, but nothing has really piqued my interest as much as it had.
Like, I felt like Megalobox was it had so much more potential than what it turned out to be. But like, it seemed really, really good in concept. It just didn't hit me that hard.
The main character didn't really have a lot of the progression. It's a lot of the side characters that got the progression, which was different.
I guess that's probably one of the things that hit me. I was like, okay, this is my dude, but like, the people around him are growing up too. And you can see the change. Like, what's the coach? It's Max or something like that. Or whatever the trainer's name is. I can't remember right now. He changes a good bit, I should say. I don't want to spoil it if anyone hasn't seen it. Who's listening?
Do you know the origins of that series, by the way? Because it's based on something.
No, I don't actually.
Yeah.
It's a spiritual successor to Ashton Joe, which aired in like the 1960s or something.
Oh, actually, I think I read about that just very lightly, and then I got bored with the article and left. But I had heard of that. For, I think, that reason.
Like, I guess it's more of a part of the anime history than anything else, because I haven't seen it. It's probably worth watching just for, like, if you watch things because of their historical value rather than the entertainment value, because it's probably really, really dated, I would guess.
Yeah, might be good. It started airing, 1970, April.
Oh, gosh.
Hold it's on, not that bad. I watched a bit of it.
It's over really double my age.
Baby Lido.
Like, there are old shows that are really, really good, though. Like, the... have you seen Ginga Eiyu Densetsu, or Legend of the Galactic Heroes?
That no, aired I
in, like, that the early good. 90s. And it's really, really good, though the early seasons parts of the early seasons look a little bit weird, but it's super high quality. Well, that's 120 episodes of OVA, so, or 110, I think.
Yeah, no, I hadn't heard of that, actually. I know right now my affix is it wrong to pick up girls in a dungeon? Which
oh no.
Yes. The new season came out a while ago and I've been having a good time on it.
Like, this season has had a lot of good stuff, but that is not one of the things I've been watching.
Oof.
Oof to who?
Just look at that arcade thing, by the way. I linked a picture earlier.
I control that.
Control
actual ship's wheel on it.
I just press battle and have things auto battle, and then I go AFK.
How do you have progression on like an arcade machine, like?
I think they have like codes and shit. You get like a code you input and keep your progression or something. I'm not 100% sure.
You write them down and then you come back to the arcade and type it in?
Probably.
Or maybe they have some card or some shit. No clue. Man. But they play a lot of arcade, so.
Yeah.
Strange things.
Also, I don't think we've gotten a favorite anime from Molson or Zokun. Actually, I do pronounce her name, sorry.
Fade Zero for me, I think.
I think you said that. I don't know if I heard of Molson then.
Yeah, I don't think Molson's told us.
That's a tough decision. Just due to recency bias, I'm inclined to say Berserk, the like older rendition of it.
I hope it's the older
recency bias. You mentioned something like 10 years old.
The older one is 90s.
Recency bias, you know, the new seasons of Berserk.
No. I mean, like, it's the one I most recently watched. And I really, really enjoyed it. Definitely, that's like one of my top five that I've seen.
Really good raid.
I started on the manga. I haven't gotten very far into it yet, though.
I watched the first episode of the anime, and I just don't know why, but I just stopped. Like, I watched it, and I was like, this seems interesting. I should set some time aside, and then just never picked it back up.
Honestly,
it's one of those shows you need to invest, like, at least a few episodes in. Especially the first episode is a bit like you could almost skip it, or watch it later, rather, because it starts further into the show, and then you go back in time.
Okay.
It's also just got, I think, my favorite anime soundtrack that I've ever heard.
I mean,
it has a really good
Cowboy
soundtrack.
Is a pretty amazing soundtrack.
Berserk has such a unique soundtrack at the same time. It's just so good. It is the only OST that I will actually like listen to on its own.
Yeah, it's really, really good. I agree.
I didn't realize it's over 20 years old now. Shit, my bad. Oh, my brain said, yeah, it's the 90s. My brain also said, the 90s weren't over 20 years ago.
I mean, in a year, it's 2020. We'll be in the 20s again.
Yeah.
Which is wild, if you ask me.
Did you pick up the manga of Berserk from where the anime ended, or from the start, I'm also?
From the start. Back to... In the manga, I don't remember what the name of the arc. I'm in the arc that the show is from in the manga.
The Golden Age.
The Golden Age arc, yeah.
And the arc that is always adapted. I think it's been adapted 2 or 3 times now.
Yeah, so going through that again is a great arc, so I don't mind. But
it's best read from the start because they skipped a few things. Which makes a lot of sense that they did, because they didn't know if they were going to make a sequel, and just having loose plot ends is probably not a good idea.
Yeah. That's a good point for us to end this episode of the podcast. Does anybody have any last-minute off-topic things they want to fit in here before we go back to our regularly scheduled Monk content?
Everyone should use WoW Analyzer.
That's not off-topic, Abe.
That is very off-topic.
Watch Kanata no Astra.
What did you say, Libby?
Watch Kanata no Astra, or I think it's Astra Lost in Space. It's coming out this season, and I think it's the most underwatched show this season.
Add it to my list.
Probably it has really generic, bad-looking picture, so I think no one picked it up for that reason, and I was the same thing there. But it was a solid watch.
I guess I would say watch Ping Pong the animation, because it looks awful, but it's actually really good.
That show's great too.
Ping Pong the animation.
You'll get bamboozled. It's really good.
Yeah, I just only had to say that because it's the second highest rated. Or third highest, fourth highest, I guess, rated anime this season on my anime list. After Tagaki-san, Vinland, and Dr. Stone. It's tied with Dr. Stone, so. But it has none of the viewers. So it's pretty good.
Dr. Stone hasn't been my thing so far. I've been watching it, but it's okay. But it's not that great. I think Vinland is probably...
Finland's number one, easily.
because they just look so great.
Yeah, that's easily the best. But that's it for me.
All right. Same. I think that is it for the show then. Thank you everyone for listening, and we will be back, maybe not next week, hopefully by the week after, for an episode talking about essences for Windwalkers and how they have played out this year. Until then, have a good night.
See you guys.